We are thankful for our church family. Kristen, those are powerful words. I want to say the same thing. I am thankful for this church family as well. Not everybody can say that. So definitely, if you're part of a church, this church perhaps, where you can say, you know what, I'm really thankful for my church, that's a pretty big deal. Sailor family, we are thankful for you guys. We are blessed to have you as part of this church family. Once again, let me also say happy Mother's Day to you guys. Not to you, Chuck, but to you, Kristen. And let me also say happy Mother's Day to all the moms out there. It's going to be a great day. I've been blessed with an amazing mom myself. So let me say, hey, Mom, glad you're watching. My mom is tuned in right now watching. And I've got always at least one person who thinks I am like the best preacher in the whole entire world. So thank you, Kay Laughing House. Also, let me say hi to a hot mom. That's my wife, Christy. So, Christy, thank you for putting up with me for all of these years and for being an amazing mom to our children. Really appreciate that. And Gail as well, mother-in-law, best mother-in-law I could ask for. Happy Mother's Day to you guys and to everybody else as well. So, boom, there you go. Funny that it's Mother's Day because we're actually talking about a newborn, right? So last week, as we're going through our Be the Church sermon series through the book of Acts, last week we realized that the church was born. It was the birth of the church in Acts chapter 2, the day of Pentecost came. So let me remind you of where we are so far. Today we're going to actually finish up Acts chapter 2, but we started out, obviously, in Acts chapter 1, and Jesus is risen from the dead. He is alive, and he has defeated death. People are amazed. His disciples are encouraged and strengthened, and he's teaching them about the kingdom of God. And then in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, he says, hey, guess what? You're going to receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you are going to be my witnesses, church. You're going to be witnesses. That's what you're going to be about. The church is about telling people about Jesus. And so you're going to receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you're going to be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to all the ends of the earth, a task that was impossible for the disciples or for you or for me to do without the power of the Holy Spirit. That's why he tells them, hey, go to Jerusalem, wait there, until the Holy Spirit comes, which the Holy Spirit does come. Acts chapter 2 shows up, the day of Pentecost, and wow, power is on display as the Holy Spirit baptizes believers into the body of Christ, and we are unified in Jesus. And then the church is born. Peter stands up, he preaches a powerful message, and 3,000 people, by the power of the Holy Spirit, 3,000 people are born into the church on one day. So that's a pretty big family. That's a pretty big way to start a family, right? If you've ever had twins, you might say, man, we had twins, we had triplets, we're overwhelmed. How about this? 3,000 brand new babies born in one day into one family. That's the church for you. So we're going to be doing a message from Acts chapter 2, verses 42 through 47 today. And we're calling it a glimpse into God's family. So what's going on is Luke, throughout the book of Acts, he just drops these like different snapshots throughout Luke. And he's just like giving us the first snapshot today. It's like a few verses long about what the church looks like at that point in history. And it changes along the way. So this first snapshot is kind of this honeymoon stage of the church where they are just born, 3,000 people are born in, and it is a scramble of sorts to figure out what in the world to do about this, and they're totally relying on the Holy Spirit and the change that they receive from the inside out to empower them to be the church together and for each other. And so let's pray. We'll get into Acts chapter 2, verse 42. Lord, thank you so much for your church, your family. God, thank you that you have allowed us to be a part of it. And Lord, we love it. We love having you as our Father. And Lord, we love being a part of the family that you have created. And God, I pray that we would continue, no matter what our circumstances are, to continue to be the church, whether we're under quarantine, whether we're at home sick, whether we are away, whether we've lost someone we love, whether or not we're upset about how things are going, no matter what the circumstances are, God, we glorify you, and may our tone and tenor be just one that lifts you up and that is a good witness for you. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So here's the first snapshot of the book of Acts that Luke gives us. It's the honeymoon stage. So what's happened is thousands of people have traveled from all over the world, and they've come to Jerusalem for what? They came for the Feast of Pentecost. They came to celebrate this feast, and they were not expecting this to happen. They were not expecting the Holy Spirit to come in power, and they were not expecting their hearts to be radically changed when they heard the gospel preached for the very first time. But that is exactly what has happened. And so we have a unique situation here in history. This is a historical story that Luke is sharing with us, a historical situation where 3,000 brand new believers are together, they get saved, and then they go, now what? What do we do? So this is happening, the book of Acts is happening over just a 30-year period, but what we're studying today is just really a few weeks or maybe a couple of months period where people have traveled into town, they've gotten saved, and now they don't want to leave, right? They want to stay there and be the church together with all the other people that have traveled into town. And so the church scrambles to get things into place, to take care of people, to feed people, to house people. People are going crazy. They're willing to let go of the things that they own to take care of other believers. And so for you and I, even though this is this idyllic picture of what the church could be and should be, there's a lot of really great principles that you and I can take from this passage and apply to our current situation today. All right? So we're just going to pick up, read through, and I'm just going to unpack this as we move along. Acts chapter 2, verse 42 says this, "And they," that's the church, "they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and prayers." And so one thing that you'll notice right off the bat about this brand new baby church that's learning how to walk is that they were devoted. They were all in. Being devoted means that you are all in on something. Being devoted to something means that you are giving up everything else and that you are totally focused on this thing. And these folks were devoted. What were they devoted to? They were devoted to the apostles' teaching, for one. They were devoted to the scriptures. They were devoted to listening to good, sound doctrine as the apostles would teach from the Old Testament scriptures, and they would teach from the memories that they had about what the Lord Jesus had given them. And they would teach these new believers, and they would learn how the things that they had learned from childhood as little Jewish boys and girls now tied into the Messiah coming. And they were learning and growing in their faith so that they could move from milk for infants and that they could grow up by learning how to eat meat and eat the bigger ideas and doctrines of the faith. And that is something that you and I as the church, if we're going to be the church, we need to be the same way. We need to be people who are students of the Word, who are not just light on our theology, but people who know their Bibles, who listen to good Bible teaching, and who consume God's Word, who memorize God's Word, so that we can know the truth of God's Word and we can live out and be the people that we are supposed to be. So they were devoted to the apostles' teaching. What else? To the fellowship. The fellowship proper here being the church. They were devoted to the fellowship of the other people that they were in fellowship with. It wasn't just a show up once a week kind of a church attendance kind of a thing for them. Nuh-uh. This was a day by day, I'm devoted to the fellowship. This isn't just me tuning in once in a while and checking out a whole bunch of different places. This was them being committed because they had been changed from the inside out. And that is the kind of church that we want to be. We want to be a church that belongs to each other, that says, my life is not my own. My life belongs to the Lord, and my life belongs to this church family, and I am completely and utterly devoted to it. What else? To the breaking of bread. So two things to think about here when we talk about breaking bread. One, obviously, that comes to mind is breaking bread and eating together, sharing life together. They mention that later on in this passage. But another thing that comes to mind is the Lord's Supper. You see, right in the very beginning, they were putting into place these very foundational blocks of church life, right? That you and I still practice today. That is going to church, listening to preaching and teaching, and growing in your faith and in your theology. It is being devoted to the fellowship. It is breaking in bread. That is the Lord's Supper, remembering the Lord's death until He comes back. That is why we take the Lord's Supper, so we can remember and celebrate together. And so they would do that. They would have a love feast together. They would celebrate a meal together, and they would every time remember the Lord's Supper and His words that He gave them there about His body and His blood being shed for them. Good stuff. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. What does that mean? That means three times a day going to the temple. The Jews would have three specific times throughout the day that they would go to the prayers. Yes, they would pray separately, spontaneously together in other situations, but there was also a formal meeting time together. They devoted themselves to the prayer. So first thing in the morning, in the afternoon, in the evening, they would go to the prayers, and they did these things together. They would pray together because they had been changed. That is something that you and I need to continue to do in order to be a faithful New Testament church, is that we have to be a church that prays with each other and prays for each other. I hope that as we are going through and taking a look at this snapshot of this ideal church, that you and I would both look inward and go, am I that kind of a church member? Am I committed? Am I devoted? Am I all in with the church? Am I a person that gets up and prays morning, noon, and night? Or am I not? If you're not, that might answer the question that we sometimes have about how come we're not seeing the same results that a lot of times we see in the book of Acts. Well, the question a lot of times isn't if God is still willing to do those things. It's, are you and I willing to be committed and devoted to what God has for us? Are we willing to do the basic things that we should be doing as a church? Getting into the Word, praying together, fellowshipping together, breaking bread together. So let's continue moving on. In verse 43, it says this, "And awe came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles." And so what was happening, as they were following these disciplines, as they were doing these things day by day, awe came upon them. That means they fell under the awesomeness of God, and they realized just how awesome and powerful it was that they had been born into this amazing family called the church. And awe came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done by the apostles. So Peter, John, the apostles, man, they were going throughout the city, and they were doing many wonders and signs, which were helping to birth this early church, helping to stabilize it, helping people to understand that this was the real deal, that these were men of God who had been empowered by God to do these wonders and signs. The signs were to show the reality. For those who had not gotten to see the risen Christ, they could see the effects of His power, Holy Spirit power, on these men as they did signs and wonders that affirmed the reality of the church being born. 44, "And all who believed were together and had all things in common." You know, one thing about this snapshot, about this early church, is that everyone who said that they believed, they didn't just say they believed from their house, but they were all together, right? And they had all things in common. So this is uncommon. To say that we have all things in common is not common these days, right? Because these days, the attitude, especially in our country, can be like, hey, what is mine is mine, and I'm holding on to it. But they said that everyone who believed in the Lord Jesus Christ had all things in common, and they were together. So if I lived in Jerusalem and I met these people that were from out of town and they came to know Christ, they were born into this family, they didn't want to leave yet, they didn't want to go back home yet, then I did whatever it took. All the things that I owned, my house, my stuff, I didn't count it as my own, but I used it for God's glory and for God's family, because I realized that everything that I've been given is a gift from my Heavenly Father for me to steward, not for me to hog and keep to myself, not for me to hide from other people, not let them know what I had, but to say, Lord, I have open hands. Everything you've given me, I give back to you for the good of your church family, so that we can grow and nurture each other. All who believed were together and had all things in common. Verse 45, and they were even going this far. Check this out. They were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. So this is crazy, right? So there's a whole bunch of new people in town, a whole bunch of new believers, and they were in this scramble to say, we've got to meet needs. Our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ are in need. Some are in a poor state in life economically, and they need our help. So I'm going to go and sell my possessions so that I can free up resources to help people who are in need. And that is the heart of the early church, that they were willing to say, whatever it takes, I'll do it. Whatever it takes to be the church together, to support the church, to be a witness for our community, man, we are going to do it. And that is what is happening, is that people's hearts are being radically changed, and they're willing to let go of the former way of life that they had, this way of life of accumulating and saving up for yourself and saving up for your retirement and saving up and making sure that you were completely 100% safe and nothing could possibly go wrong. And then out of that comfort, give a little bit. That is not the attitude that we find in the early church at all. It's a beautiful picture of people who had let go of everything and were willing to trust God completely day by day, not knowing what tomorrow would hold. Now, this begins to change as you see the different snapshots through the book of Acts. And so you may look at this in an idealistic way and go, wow, the church should still be like that. But you see that the church was beginning to grow and learning how to walk and get on its legs. And so just in chapter 4, you see another snapshot. And so the people go from doing this. They go from selling all their possessions and just meeting people's needs right where they are to selling possessions and bringing it and laying it at the apostles' feet and saying, you guys distribute this. Because what would happen is that in that early scramble, people would fall through the cracks. And so they said, hey, they begin to get more organized, and they would bring it to the apostles, and the apostles began to distribute it. And then more and more people were added to their number. So then what happened next? Well, people begin to fall through the cracks again, and you miss people. It's just something that we do. So the apostles said, hey, we can't keep up with this anymore. We got to really focus on the ministry of the word and of prayer. So we're gonna get seven dudes who can focus just on this ministry, and you bring your possessions and your finances to them, and they'll distribute them. And so that's the way the church has progressed, is that it went from this early, beautiful heart place where people just were saying, hey, I'll do whatever in the moment to meet needs, to getting a little bit more organized day by day as they begin to figure things out. But that's the kind of heart that we should maintain in the church, is that we are a family. We belong to each other. I belong to you. You belong to me. My family belongs to you. Your family belongs to our family. It's a beautiful picture, because we're all under God's fathership, if you will. He is our Father, and we are all under and part of His family. Verse 46 says this, and day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts. And so I want you to get this, day by day, not just once a week, not just once in a while, not just when they felt like it, but day by day, they were attending the temple together. And then they were also breaking bread in their homes. And this is something we still see today in church life, right? We have a large group gathering and we have small group gatherings. We have a church service on the first day of the week. And then we have at our church what we call community groups, people that meet in homes online right now. But people that meet together in smaller pockets and break bread together and do life together. And that is something that we see right from the beginning of the church, is that large groups would come, the apostles would teach, it would be a large group gathering of the whole entire church, but then also smaller group, home to home, breaking bread together, doing life together. I don't know about you, but I can't wait for quarantine to be over. That's going to be happening soon. We're going to be re-entering physical contact with people. Your church is putting a plan into place to transition us back into that. And we are looking forward to being back together in person with each other. In the meantime, let's stay devoted to and be the church no matter where we are. And no matter what that looks like in this time, trusting God that He is going to take care of us. So they received their food with glad and generous hearts. They weren't grumbling and complaining. They were glad and generous just to get a little bit of food, because somebody else had sacrificed for them to be able to have that. And their hearts weren't set on what they could get and what church looked like for them. But they were ecstatic just to get some food, and they had a generous heart because of it. You know, during this time, it can be hard to decipher out how we should feel about what is happening with coronavirus. And we have people all on different sides of the spectrum on how to feel about this. On one side, it can be easy to feel like what's happening is, at this point, kind of oppressive. And you're ready to kind of just break out of it and forget, you know, what people are saying, and let's just get back to normal, right? And on the other side, you could kind of be caught up in fear and going, man, this is really tough and people should stay home and people should not get out. And there's all kinds of feelings in between about what should happen. And let me just encourage us as a church family to think biblically about these things. We want to be a good witness to the Lord Jesus Christ during this time, with how we are obeying our government, with how we are caring for people. And so we know that we are coming back together very soon. But in the meantime, we want to make sure that, number one, that our hope is not in a government system, right? Because whether it's political, economic, we know that what was happening here at this early church is people had come from all over the whole entire world, and they got a whole new paradigm. They got a whole new shift in their mind and in their thinking and in their heart to say, the way of life that I was living back home, now I've come together with this whole brand new family, and we're doing it completely different. We're saying that nothing belongs to us, and we are all in with this family. We're not counting on an economy system. We're not counting on a government. We're not counting on science. We're not counting on whatever. I'm not saying that those things are bad. Those things are actually a gift from the Lord. Government, science, politics, all that, believe it or not, even politics, can be used by God for His glory. But we as God's people have to remember that our hope is not in any kind of political system, left, right, middle, doesn't matter. Our hope is in our King, Jesus Christ. And so our pride should not, on one hand, force us to go above and beyond what we should do. If the government is asking us to do things that we are not comfortable with, as long as it's not sin, we try to do what we can to honor that. Keep in mind that in this time, the Jewish people were under the thumb of the Roman Empire. They were under the rule of the Romans. In fact, our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ was put to death, crucified by the Romans, and He went before them silently. And then we see that Stephen, in the book of Acts, was actually the first martyr in the church, and he was stoned to death by religious leaders. And he did not try to plead his case or try to make sure that everybody realized that he was being mistreated. As he was being stoned, he was preaching the gospel and he said, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they are doing. So let's be careful as a church to really be the church and make sure that our hope and our trust is in our Savior, and that we are coming together and bonding together as a church more than ever in this time, and that we are trusting in God to take the right steps in wisdom at the right time to do what He's calling us to do. Let's continue on. It says this, verse 47, praising God and having favor with all the people. So folks had moved from all over the world. Their world was turned upside down. They were trusting in God for their very next meal with glad and generous hearts. And they were praising God, and they were having favor with all the people. That means that the way that they were carrying themselves in this moment, in this city, they were carrying themselves in such a way, in their tone and in their tenor, that they had favor in this unique moment in time with all the people, as the people looked in and said, these people are different. These people are not insisting that they have their way and that they be free to do this or that they be free to do that. Instead, they are giving away their rights to serve other people. So you and I need to carry ourselves and voice our thoughts and our opinions in such a way that people who are looking in from the outside see all church people of all stripes as people who first follow Jesus, as people who first are not caught up in the things of this world, the goods of this world, the politics of this world, the things that could happen in this world, the fears of this world that might or might not happen. Those things need to be prayed through and thought through for sure. But as we speak, the very first things that should be coming out of our mouth is, I trust God. I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know when we can go back. I don't know if I'm going to be okay. I lost a loved one. I know people who are suffering because of this. I lost my job because of this. Whatever the situation is, it should first and foremost have a different flavor than the flavor of the world, because we should say, I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow, but I know who holds tomorrow, right? I don't know what's going to happen, and I don't know where I'm going to get my next meal, but I know that Jesus, He takes care of the birds of the air. They don't worry about where they're going to get their next meal. Surely He loves me just as much as He loves them. He tells us that in the book of Matthew. So we can trust in our God to meet our needs, that even though we don't know what the future holds, that we do know who holds the future. And we know that in the end, Jesus is coming back, and that our King will come for us, and He will rule and He will reign, and things will only be right at that time. Let me remind us that just a few short weeks or months after this little glimpse into God's family, this little snapshot, people begin to get hurt in the church. The government and the religious leaders come against the church, even though they're not doing anything wrong. Actually, in the next couple of chapters, chapters 3 and 4, Peter and John are going to the temple to pray, right? And they heal a guy, and they wind up getting thrown in prison for it. And we don't see them complaining about being thrown in prison. We see them taking the opportunity to praise God and preach the gospel because of what has happened to them. Later on, we see Stephen being stoned. Later on, we see James being put to death for his beliefs. And all along, they count it an honor to suffer for the name of Christ. You know, we don't know if and when a day like that's going to come. We know that before Jesus comes back, things are going to get tight. Things are going to get tough. Things are going to get hard. But guess what? God's family, when things get hard, we get holier, right? We get better. God uses persecution. God uses tough times like this to let the light of the church shine brighter. So let me encourage you, do not give in to fear. Do not give in to pride. Do not give in to putting your faith and your hope in anything of this world. But instead, let's live life like the early church. And man, let's trust God completely, open up our hands and our hearts, and bless each other and be a light, be a witness to the waiting world. And you'll see what happens. He says this at the last part of verse 47, "And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved." You see, when we live different and we love each other the way that we're called to love each other, people come to know Jesus. People see you not as a Republican or a Democrat first, but they see you as a lover of Jesus Christ, someone who is completely different, who does not make sense in light of this world, but completely makes sense in light of eternity and what we say we believe. Let us be a people that live during this time and at all times a life that does not make sense to the world, a life that is crazy to this world, to say, why do you love so much? Why do you give so much? Why do you pray so much? Why are you not fearful about what's coming in the future? Well, because my God, He's in control. He is sovereign. He's not unaware. God has used governments and politics and sickness and death throughout all of history for His own sovereign purposes, to purify His people, to bring about the gospel, the good news about Jesus through a government. And God is still in control of whatever's going to happen 1 year, 2 year, 5 year, 10 years from now. God is completely in control. What we're going to do is this. We're going to keep being the church no matter what. No matter if things go back to normal, no matter if things don't go back to normal, nobody can say. Nobody knows. Thank God we know Jesus. Let's pray. Lord, thank you so much for this glimpse into your family. Lord, this early church picture of a people who, even though they were surrounded by tough times, they had glad and generous hearts. Lord, that they completely trusted in you and not in their own ability to take care of themselves or a government to take care of them. But Lord, they took care of each other. God, I pray that you would do an amazing work through your power of the Holy Spirit here at Belmont to help us to be a church more like what we see here in Acts chapter 2. Lord, that we would be a generous church that loves the scriptures, that loves to pray together, that loves spending time together, breaking bread together. And God, I pray that you would make us stronger than ever before. Lord, that we could come out on the other side of this situation stronger than we ever have been before, both personally, individually, and also corporately as a church. God, we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, if you're tuned in today and you do not know Jesus, today is the day of salvation. So do not click out of here, right, until you get that right. Man, we would love the opportunity to pray with you and for you. Jesus Christ is real. He is alive. He died on a cross in your place to pay for your sin. You could be saved and changed today, and you could be a part of God's family. And you wouldn't have to get a glimpse of God's family from the outside in. You could see what it's like to be a part of God's family from the inside out. So do me a favor, click that button, fill out that connection card. Let us reach out to you, minister to you, share the good news with you, and you will be glad that you did.